will be up on our YouTube channel this week. Take a listen to it if you didn't get to check it out yet. But just appreciated them sharing from their own lives and really talking about how an essential to Jesus and his character, but also to our walk with God, is being humble people, humble Jesus followers that are easy to teach, to train, to correct, that we're moldable. And so if you've yet to really reflect on that, as you know, that was one main essential we talked about of humility, definitely talk to people in your life about it, reflect on that lesson. But tonight, we're going to be continuing and talking about our third essential, which is building convictions, building deep convictions. Does that sound good to you guys?
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about building deep biblical convictions that form us into the image of Christ. And so, you know, this series is really all about focusing on what are the essentials of discipleship, right? If someone comes to you and says, hey, I want to follow Jesus, what do I need to know? That's what we're talking about in this series. The things that Jesus says are essential to becoming like him and to do what he does here in New York City. Now, if you want to remain faithful, if you don't want to just become a Christian, but if you want to die a Christian, if you want to persevere, continue to grow, if you want to be a world changer instead of just being changed by the world, you're going to need convictions. You're not going to make it to heaven without deep biblical convictions that are rooted in God. Amen?
Amen.
And so our hope is for you to leave here more equipped and more determined than ever to build them in your own life, in your own walk with God. First scripture we're going to look at is 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. We'll be in Thessalonians. We'll be camping out here a lot tonight. There's a lot in here as Paul's writing to this church in Thessalonica. A lot of insight we can get on convictions and on how that affects the body of Christ as a church. And so, you know, definitely take out your notebook, your phone, whatever you use to take notes. With a lesson like this, with a lot that we're going to go through, I'd encourage you to take notes on things that don't feel like you got to be in, you know, in a lecture right now where, you know, your notes are like what you've studied for, all that. Take as much notes as you want, but try to write down the things that really hit you, that you feel like in your own personal time with God, you want to reflect on. If you'd like our notes, we can send you those, but I want to encourage you to listen, to be attentive, and the things that stand out to you, definitely write those down and think about how you can talk to someone else about that. So let's read here. Chapter 1, verse 4. Paul says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." Can you guys say that with me? And deep conviction. "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." We'll stop there. So Paul says, here's how we know God chose you. Or here's how we know God approves of you. Here's how we know that your Christianity is founded on deep conviction. That's how we know that you get the gospel. That's what he's telling them. Hey, this is what we see in the church there in Thessalonica. This is a community of Christians that has received the gospel not as just some option or some nice words or a good option to live life, but man, this is the way to live life because it's from God and it's from his word. And that it's from his word that they're building these convictions, right? It says words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction, right? So conviction, this is what God is looking for in us, and you and me. And by deep conviction, right, they had these convictions, and so because of that, they were a model church. They were model Christians. Not strutting the runway model, but spiritually, they were strutting their stuff. They had it going on. They were growing. They were maturing in Christ. And other people could look to their example. But we got to ask ourselves, can we say that about our own walk with God? And can we say that about AONYC? That, hey, this is a model community. You want to go plant a church in New York City? Check out AONYC, what they're doing. I'd love to say that. I want to grow to say that more. But we have growing to do, and that's okay. Raise your hand if you're a sinner here tonight. Right? We all got growing to do. We all need to be people, even if you already have certain convictions, that we're growing to add to them and strengthen the ones we already have. We can't remain faithful to the end without forming convictions between us and God. So let's talk about this. What is a conviction? This is a word we hear a lot in Christianity, in church culture. It's a firmly held belief that informs the way you live life. It's not a belief that's hollow and just is on your doctrine sheet, but it dictates the way you live. And the world and your closest friends and influences, they can't move it. They can't change it. It's unrelenting. It's unwavering. It's this firm conviction. And it's firm because it's based on God's word, which is unchangeable. Amen. It's a firm belief because it's not coming from the world, which is really a mindless beast, changing every month, changing every week, but it's coming from God. And so God calls us to have these kind of beliefs, not beliefs that are based off of church trends or what your fellow brother or sister is into, but it's coming from Scripture. We're going to talk about that more. But what we want to ask you tonight, and really ask ourselves, is do you have conviction in your Christianity? Is that within your discipleship to Jesus? Maybe there's aspects that you feel strong about in your beliefs that you're like, oh yeah, no one's going to tell me that Jesus is not the Son of God. That's a conviction. That's a belief. But maybe there's other things where you're like, you know, I know this is what our church believes, but I don't really know where it comes from in Scripture. And those are the things that we got to go and dig into Scriptures and know, hey, this is why I believe what I believe. But do you have conviction in your Christianity? Conviction that is not, we're talking about a kind of conviction that isn't half-hearted. It's not one foot in, one foot out, right? Not the hokey pokey. But it's a conviction that's determined to please God. And it doesn't get easily shaken or thrown off course, even by the craziest storms in your life. You know, Luke 14, a lot of us know this passage. Jesus talks about our discipleship, and he says it's not just about starting, it's about finishing the race. And he talks about counting the cost. You know, Jesus is like basically saying, I'm going to go die on a cross. You better think about this before you decide to follow me with your life, right? Jesus, and hear me on this, guys, he wants us to be built to last, right? Jesus doesn't just want a nice phase of like college ministry. Wow, what great memories we had. We had in campus, seeing people become Christians, growing in our faith. No, he wants you 20, 50, 60 years from now to be more like Christ and stronger than ever before. Yeah. Right? That when John and I are in our old age on our rockers, maybe not on our rockers if we're in the city, you know, we're not going to have a front porch, but that we're talking about, man, that was a great time, you know, with AONYC. But man, look at what God's doing now. Look at the thousands of college disciples in New York City. And we're not going to be in campus in that time. I hope not, man. I don't know. But we're gonna be growing and talk about how we've grown a lot since 2024. Not just as a church, but in our convictions, in our beliefs. Jesus, he's calling you to a lifelong commitment. And he's saying, I want you to follow me, but I don't want you to follow me if you're not in it for me and if you're not in it for life. And I don't want you to follow me just because your friends are and because it's cool right now. I want you to have conviction, and specifically conviction that's from God's word. That's our first point. We've been touching on this already, but let's talk about this. We can't have beliefs that are wishy-washy, that are built on sand. We got to build them off of the Bible. You know, it's kind of like when you're at a restaurant, you're telling the waiter or the waitress what you want, right? It'd be so weird if you're at a restaurant and the waiter or waitress is really trying to tell you what to eat that night, you'd be like, okay, I heard your suggestions. That's great. I'm going to tell you what I want. I came here to eat this meal, right? Whatever you guys like. And so in the same way, God tells us what he wants. He's the king. He's the author of life. We don't tell God, hey, God, I got a suggestion. You might want to try this out. Based off my 18, 19 years of experience, you should try this, God. He's like, dude, I knit you together in your mother's womb. You know, what are you talking about? Right? And so we have to have convictions that aren't like, wow, what a great idea I have. But that it's coming from God. It's him telling us, here's what I want in your life. You think about the wise and foolish builders. The wise builder, what does he build on? The rock. And so when the storm comes, the home stays strong. The foolish builder builds with shallow convictions and on sinking sand. You know, this next part in Thessalonians, let's read here in chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, check this out, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Right? Did you catch that there? What he's saying in verse 13, that, hey, when you receive this message of God, it wasn't just you receiving it from us, but that we received it as actually what it is, which is the words of God. Conviction comes from a foundation on the word of God, not as a nice option to life, but on the word of God as the most important authority in our life. And so, guys, we got to view the Bible as God's word, as a message from him to us to help us live life the way that God designed it. The Bible has to inform our beliefs more than anything else. And that sentence that I just said might sound like a no-brainer, right? In theory, logically, we know church is based off of the Bible. We know we can't do this thing called church without scripture. But it's incredible how many things we do in our week that don't come from scripture. If you look back on your day, I mean, even for me, I've been a Christian 13 years, every week I think about moments in my day and I'm like, that wasn't Christ-like. That wasn't informed by scripture. That was way more informed by Mark's emotions than it was by God. Right? And so we got to go from, you know, we hear sermons and something we say a lot is, man, that was convicting. It's okay to feel convicted. The Holy Spirit, that's his job. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But you got to have that feeling of feeling convicted turn into a conviction. That you're talking to a sister after service, talking to a brother, talking to a friend, and you're like, man, that was convicting, wasn't it? Yeah, let's talk. How can we turn this into a conviction? How does this become a part of my life? How does this become a part of who Jackson is, who Isaiah is, who Sierra is, who Cedric is, Tristan is? How does that happen? Right? Well, it happens with intentionality. Guys, we don't want to be just a church that meets on Sundays and is like, whew, that was convicting, and we get home and just forget it. Like, what's the point of gathering and doing all this work if it's not becoming something that's conviction based off the word of God? You know, your convictions have to be from God and for God. Not just for what you want, but for what he wants. And so we got to ask ourselves, where do our convictions come from, and what do they stand on? Like, your life, the things you care about, the things that dictate your day-to-day life, what do they stand on? If someone was to come ask you, hey, Kaylee, why do you live the way you live? You're very different than most people at NYU, in a good way. Why are you that way, Kaylee? And she can say, book, chapter, verse, here's what I see from God. Here's why I am who I am. That she builds on that. We build on that. You know, whatever, there's a lot of different things we could have convictions on, whether it's purity or money and greed, right? Salvation, what it means to be saved by God, right? All of these things, we don't want to play with fire and just hope that we have them on straight in Scripture. We want to know what the Bible says. You know, there are some verses and truths in the Bible. I'm just going to list some, like, essential convictions that we need to have. Some of these, again, are not going to be news to you, but I just want to list these right now to help us think about, oh, okay, these are things that I need to be strong on, right? So here's some things. Here's convictions we need to have. God is holy. God is set apart. He's good. He's all-powerful. He's trustworthy. He's always right. That we view God that way. He's perfect. His word says he is. Another conviction, that sin is sin. It doesn't matter if it's a little white lie or if it's physical altercation or anger or whatever it is. Sin is sin. Not being sober is sin. Sexual activity before marriage is sin. Lust is a sin. Lying, cheating, cursing, being deceitful. All of those hurt God and hurts your life. You got to have a conviction about that. All of us are equal before God and the foot of the cross. This is a conviction we got to have. I need Jesus. I have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says all have sinned. And so therefore, I need a Savior. No one can be saved outside of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. There's no other creed or faith outside of Christ that can redeem your heart, save your soul, and transform the way you live your life. That's a conviction we need to have. Christianity and Judaism and Islam, they don't all lead to the same thing. They're not all talking about the same way of life. There's overlap, sure. But Jesus is the one who draws the line in the sand. Another conviction we need to have, once we are saved, praise God for his grace and that we get to walk in his grace. But even just, there's a doctrine out there that we hear of once saved, always saved, right? That's a popular doctrine, but is it rooted in Scripture? No. We can decide to stop following Jesus. We can decide to turn away from God. Another conviction is that we need to be people who spend time with God. That we see our need for prayer, for the spiritual disciplines, for fasting, for Scripture, for solitude, for rest. And that we see, man, I have work to do today. I live in New York City, the most fast-paced culture, pretty much the whole world. But I need God's word every day. Another one, I need people in my life. Getting discipling, getting mentoring from other Christians, it's not optional. We need each other if we're going to make it to heaven. Last one, this world is not our home. That's a conviction we have to have. One day Jesus is going to come back. Everyone will be judged. Right? Heaven is real, the kingdom of God coming and the new heaven and new earth. That is a conviction we need to have, to be confident that, man, I am going to be with God forever if I've obeyed what he said. And so these are all truths. These are examples of convictions that we need to dig deep and have rooted in Scripture. To not have the convictions that are just our parents' convictions or our friends' convictions. We're not riding the coattails of someone else's faith, but that you have faith for yourself and that these things are rooted in your life so you know your why, but also when people come and ask you about your discipleship to Jesus, you have a place to turn in Scripture besides, well, this is just what I've always believed. That's probably not going to convince your friend to give up everything to follow Jesus, right? And so some of these you might have to wrestle with, but that is okay, but we need to have conviction rooted in the Word of God.
So, When I was thinking about doing this lesson, and Mark and I were going back and forth, we always just like late, we should be going to bed. We're like going back and forth, talking about what should we talk about in this lesson when we do it together. And something that I was thinking about when it came to convictions, you know, was when I first became a Christian, I did not have very many convictions, like firmly held beliefs. I had some of these like basic beliefs, but it was definitely something that I needed to build. And something that I saw get in the way in the beginning of me building a firm conviction on and built on God's word was something that should be a good thing, but if I didn't understand it correctly, it turned into something that was a little bit more complicated. So, for example, or what I'm trying to talk about is I was looking so much at the example of other people. Like, that is, in a way, a really biblical and good thing to do. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." So, like, we should have spiritual examples in our lives. But what I found myself doing when it came to my convictions or my beliefs was I believed in something, and then when I saw someone doing something different than what I thought I believed at church, like a girl that I knew at church or a guy that I knew at church, like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, can I do that too? Like, can I go get drunk at that party? Like, they're doing it. Like, is that something that's okay? Like, Or, you know, like, they, whatever example it might be, it was 10 years ago at this point, but there were a lot of things. Like, and I just remember that being so pivotal in my relationship with God and, like, going deeper in my convictions, because I saw people not only start to do things that didn't match what I thought I should believe in scripture, but they started leaving God completely. And it really rocked my faith. It made me question things and question what I believe, because even the woman that helped me become a Christian strayed far away from her relationship with God and was doing things that through what I saw in scripture was not biblical at all and not what a follower of Jesus should do. And so I had to really go deep into God's word, like, what should I do with, like, my life? Like, is it okay to go get drunk at this party? Like, no, that's what scripture says. Like, it is not. And so I think, like, again, we should look to each other as examples as long as we are following the example of Christ and not put other people's examples above scripture, above Jesus, above anything. But yeah, that's what I wanted to share at this point.
Amen. And so yeah, that's the first point I want to talk about, is building convictions that are based on God's word. And that we're thinking biblically as we think about our beliefs. And so, you know, one of the things that, just to wrap up this point, that I think we have to really, that should be a mantra for us as disciples of Jesus, is that, man, if something is not holy, then it's not for me. If something's not set apart by God from him, then it's just not for me. Right? If it's coming from the world, hey, maybe people will do it for a little while, but it's built on sinking sand. I got to build on the rock. I got to build on God. And so, you know, how is your daily Bible study going? Is that forming your convictions, or is it just kind of snacking on the Word of God and it's not forming the beliefs and convictions in your life? How are your times with God? You know, think about what are ways that your times with God could more so become the convictions in your life. That your quiet times and what you're getting from it blesses this ministry, because you're bringing into this group convictions that are imitatable, right? And so we want our convictions to be based off the Word of God, but we also want our conviction from God's righteousness. That's our second and last point. That as disciples, man, we want to see God's righteousness. We see that displayed in the life of Jesus. And so we need to think about, man, am I becoming righteous? Am I becoming more like Christ? And are my convictions, are they coming from God and His holiness, His character, His nature, His righteousness? You know, Paul said that this church in Thessalonica, that they set the example by being holy, righteous, and blameless, right? Our convictions on how we live and what we need to be about, they need to be pleasing and right to God. That His righteousness is our bullseye. It's our aim. Nothing less, right? What's righteousness? Righteousness is walking right with someone. Right with God. Rightness with His Word. God wants righteousness because it brings Him and who He is into the world. God wants more of Him in this world, not just more of you, right? And we need you. We need your gifts. We need your passions and talents. But we need His righteousness if we're going to experience a church the way God wants it to be. And so in this same letter, in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, let's read here starting in verse 1. It says, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified." Sanctified means being made holy. "That you should avoid sexual morality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that is in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before." Verse 7. "For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life." Say that with me. To live a holy life. "Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit." And we'll stop there. And so Paul is encouraging this church in some ways to keep doing what they're doing, which is to live lives that please God and to do that more and more. I need some water. Preaching the word. Amen. We almost didn't have a microphone today. Would have died up here. But yeah, that's what he's getting at here. You know, if you look at verse 8, right, he's saying, hey, that we're receiving this message from God. And so for people who don't accept it, that they're not just rejecting you, it says they're rejecting God, the very God who gives us the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit so we could be holy. I mean, it's such a simple idea. I mean, think about this, right? That Jesus walked on earth, lived a holy life, right? A set apart life. Jesus leaves, and as he's leaving, he says, "But it's good that I go, because I'm going to give you the advocate. I'm going to give you a Holy Spirit." And so then we have the opportunity, when we're baptized, to receive the Holy Spirit, not to keep living life the way we want to, but to live a holy life. And that God helps us with that. He's saying, you can't do this on your own. And so I'm going to give you my spirit, but it's not a worldly spirit. It's not an unholy spirit. It's not a spirit that's of our flesh. It's holy. It's from God. And so if you're walking by the Spirit, you should live a life that pleases God. Amen. You should live a righteous life that pleases God. Now, one of the things we want to talk about in the second point is building a kingdom culture, right? We're part of Jesus' kingdom. We've made Jesus Lord. And so as Christians, we're not just trying to, yes, we're trying to build a church culture, but even that sometimes we can miss out because people have a lot of different opinions about church. And people do church pretty wrong sometimes. But you know what's never wrong, or how should I say this? What's very clear in Scripture is that the only community that matters is the kingdom of God. And that whatever the king says is what people in the kingdom do. And so what we want to talk about is, as AONYC, we want to build more of a kingdom culture that when people come and interact with us, and for the members of our ministry, that we're building something that will last beyond your college years, that it will last beyond these young adult years in your life. You're building a kingdom culture that will affect these relationships, that will affect relationships down the line, that will affect wherever you move to. And we want to be a place where people come in and they feel like, dang, this place is different. This community is different. Because it's a kingdom culture, which is a holy culture. And that's got to be our heart. That we're living in such a way that we're helping each other build this culture. Right? We talked about holiness, set apart from the world by God for God. That's holiness. We're his image bearers. We're meant to represent him. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." That's it. That's the why. And so as a ministry, we've grown. We're growing in our faith and our discipleship and our obedience to Jesus. But as this ministry grows, we're going to have to grow even more so to be intentional of deciding that we're going to have kingdom culture, not worldly culture. Because the more people that come in to the ministry, in some ways, the more the world can come in. Because we're all influenced by the world. And so as we grow, as we see this community come to be more like Christ and more people coming out, guys, we have to be extra intentional to keep Jesus as the focus. And that we're building a kingdom culture that's a holy culture. And if something doesn't fall in line with what the king says, guys, it's not going to be our culture. It doesn't matter how cool it is. It doesn't matter what's going on. It can't be what our culture is about. And so, you know, this is kind of what we want to end this point talking about is, what does that look like specifically in our ministry? What are some things we can grow in to have more of a kingdom culture, to have deeper convictions, things that we feel like, hey, these are some things that we want to be better in as a collective. And so we want to close the talk about some specific things.
You know, Mark, one thing that I think our group has an amazing culture or like conviction on is I think they really believe in the Holy Spirit, or at least like ghosts, because this front row is like always saved for the Holy Spirit or Casper the Friendly Ghost. Like, that I think is a conviction of our group for sure. But I don't know, maybe we can move up. I don't know. So, you know, something that I was thinking about when it came to convictions is, a lot of this, especially in the beginning that we were talking about, our convictions can shape us personally, right? Like, this is going to be, you know, what transforms our spiritual walk with God is our convictions that we build. And at the same time, what Mark was starting to talk about is our individual convictions play a vital role in shaping the ministry that you're a part of.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what I want us to all think about, like, what are some areas that we should have unwavering held beliefs in? What are some convictions that will shape you and this ministry? Like, what do we want to do to shape our own personal walks with God, but also this ministry?
Come on.
And I was really, honestly, tonight especially inspired by this group. I was standing out there with Jace for a little bit, and people are, you know, always looking in, like, what are we doing? And
There's young people out there talking about beer and where they're going out tonight, but you guys are here. And
yeah.
So,
amen.
Like, I think you want to be Christians, right? Like, you want to follow Jesus. Something that I've built, and this is, like, off note, just because I was, you know, thinking about that, but also thinking about this group, is I have a deep conviction, because I've wrestled with this so much, that I don't want to be doing what those people are doing because I want to be a Christian. Like, if there's something in me that, like, wants to go live that life, then why am I pretending to play church tonight? So, you know, I just want to encourage you guys to go deeper with your faith. I mean, this is a pivotal time in your walk with God to do that. Like, okay, is there something about me that wants one foot in the world and wants one foot in church? But, like, there's literally no point, because that's not real Christianity. So that's just something that over the years I've really grown in my personal conviction in, and I just thought of because of how amazing you all are being here tonight and how many things you could be doing in the East Village tonight. It's just
amen.
Something that I was thinking about. But I think that, again, like, there are so many things that inspire me about this group. And there are so many things that we have grown in, do amazing at. And so I don't want you guys to forget about that when I'm sharing some of these things that have been in my heart and some things that I've experienced in this group, but also have known that some of you have experienced. So these are things that I've been wanting to have, like, a family talk for a little bit. So that's what we're going to do just for a little minute, okay? Just for a little section of this.
Bring it.
So, you know, when people come out to church, they're here to find God, not a relationship with you. They do not need obstacles in their way. We need to bring people to Jesus, not out to dinner, not to our house, not to our DMs, whatever it may be. We need to bring people to Jesus. And that's all of us. Like, I remember when I first came to church 10 plus years ago, I came from the world where guys were always saying crazy things to me, you know, like giving me attention that maybe I wanted, maybe I didn't, depending on the day. But when I went to church, like, there was something different. Like, I felt like I felt seen by God. I felt cared for by the people that were there. And if there were people that were, like, trying to come at me like they were in the streets or at school or whatever, like, that really would have hurt my relationship with God. And it would have been confusing, because it's like, what's so different about this than the world? Like, that's not what we want to do for people. We don't want to have a culture where people are experiencing the same things when it comes to relationships like they do in the world. And so, again, that's for everybody here. I just wanted to share that. I feel like that can really be harmful for people's walks with God, especially for women in this world, to experience the same things when they come to church that they were experiencing in the world, in their previous relationships with guys. So in the same way, I think about, you know, I'm speaking from a woman's perspective, so obviously I'm talking to everybody, the women and the brothers, like, whoever you are, like, whether you're hitting Mackin on whoever. But personally, as a woman, like, I don't need that. Obviously, I'm married. Please don't do that. But also, for the girls who come in here single, like, some of them are just fresh out of a relationship where they might have damage that they need to heal with God. They don't need, again, family talk, right? So, again, I think another thing that can really help us with this, though, and building a better culture and taking care of people who come into our group is, especially as the women, like, to protect another woman that comes into this room, we have to get connected to them, love them, initiate with them. And if you, you know, don't see someone doing that, do it yourself, you know? Like, be there for someone. Don't let the guys be the first one to get the pretty girl's number that walks in the room. Like, you do that. Be a great friend to a new woman who's, like, looking for community and looking for a relationship with God. So it's taking care of new people that are coming in, but also each other. Like, be your sister's keeper and protect her from a crazy guy who, you know, even though he's trying to be a Christian, like, he might be messing up sometimes, okay? So we just have to take care of each other. And I think something that we do amazing at, which can honestly cause some of these problems, like when I talk about, like, these relationships with men and women, is, like, we're super hospitable, you know, maybe a little too much in some of these ways, okay? But again, like, I'm not saying this to, like, don't not talk to someone who comes in. Like, continue to be hospitable, but look out for one another. And so those were, like, some of the things that I had on my heart that I really wanted to share with you guys. And again, just some of these things that I think that we can continue to grow in is just being a spiritual community, not just a fun one. Like, we have a lot of fun. Like, it's really awesome to be a part of. But again, we talked about this a few weeks ago on a Sunday, like, really being a spiritual community. Learning how to watch out for one another, having spiritual conversations and check-ins with each other, getting advice about things going on in our lives, and just having a biblical culture that we're building here. Amen. Kingdom culture.
Let's go.
Amen. Questions we want to throw out there, this will be our last question, is what is your standard? What's your target for righteousness based on?
Good question.
And again, we need to learn from each other, right? In some ways, we need to follow each other's example as we follow Christ. And so we got to have balance. There's things like we should be able, for sure, to remind each other of Jesus, right? There's things that the sisters in this room do that I see that helps me see Jesus. I see Jesus in you. And there's things that the brothers do in this room, whether it's your eagerness to know the Word of God, or your eagerness to make disciples, or to encourage the sisters, whatever it may be, I see Jesus in the brothers. But we're going to see Jesus the most in Jesus and in His Word. And so for the times that you can't look to your best friend for the example, that's when we have to ask ourselves, what am I basing this on? And I do just want to briefly speak to the men in the room. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. I love this brotherhood. Yeah. And it has been, honestly, one of the greatest blessings of my life to know you guys, for a lot of you to see you become Christians, to see you make Jesus the Lord of your life. These past 3 years of my life have been with you, and I want to continue to do them with you. And it's because I care about our brotherhood so much that I'm going to say a couple things, okay? And hear me out on this. Like Hannah was saying, I think a strength of this ministry that I experience is we are a close-knit community. We're not a church that goes to service and then everyone goes their own way after church. We love spending time together, do we not?
Yeah.
We love doing life together. I mean, probably tonight, you're going to go do something together. You know, that's awesome. We want those relationships. We want that unity, right? We want the brothers and the sisters to be hanging out. Hear us on that. We want that. But brothers, what this ministry needs from you more than anything else is for you to point people to Jesus and not yourself. To point people to Jesus more than anything else in this world. And the other thing I want to say too is don't be afraid to challenge your fellow brother in Christ. I mean, If we look at some of the things Jesus said in Scripture, people were shook. Jesus ended up on a cross for a reason. He said some hard things. But did he ever say anything wrong? No. Yet people still killed him. And so sometimes we got to be, as Hannah was just talking about, the sisters, looking out for the sisters. Brothers, if you see a brother in your life that you love and you see him caught in a sin, guess what? That's going to happen. It happens in Scripture. It happens because we're sinners. But in that moment, you have a choice. Are you going to point that brother to Jesus, or are you just going to let it slide and let culture come in that's worldly and not holy, right? And so whether that be maybe you're just hanging out with a couple of the guys and someone says something that doesn't sit right, will you be the brother to say, hey, why do you say that? You know what? Why do you think that came to your mind? Or hey, was that based off of Jesus, right? That you're willing not just to say something to look spiritual or to be like, oh, wow, you're so much like Jesus, bro. But no, because you love that person and you want them to live a righteous life and not be duped by the world. Yeah. And that there's some things in the world that are actually better. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
And this goes without saying, but for the men in this room, we need to treat these sisters like queens. Like royalty. Like as they walk into church in their summer fits, it's like, yo, the sisters are here. Pull out the red carpet. We're going to encourage these women of God today. Right? Obviously, we do that through hanging out, quality time together, going on double dates, planning intentional times with one another. But think about, just again, this is for all the men in the room. How can you be a more encouraging brother to the sisters in this room? Think about that for yourself. Maybe it's deciding that you're going to go on a couple dates a month and you're going to plan them, not just because you like someone, but because you want to encourage them and you want to be a brother to them, right? That takes humility. That takes conviction. I remember when I was in campus ministry, man, from my freshman year to my senior year, there was quite the evolution of us figuring out how to encourage the women in our ministry. Freshman year, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. What do we do, guys? Chris is saying, how do I talk to girls? That's pretty much me. How do I talk to Hannah? How do I talk to Hannah Baker? That was my thing I was trying to figure out most of college. But we're thinking about, you know, considering ways to encourage each other. Amen. That goes for all of us, for brothers and sisters. But again, that conviction that you have of, I'm going to be an encouraging brother, I'm going to be an encouraging sister, that changes culture, that makes this ministry more of a kingdom culture, and then when people come, they experience that, right? So it all affects each other. And so that's really what we want to give to you guys tonight, is that we want to grow in building deep convictions that, one, are based on the Word of God, and two, are based on his righteousness. And so maybe there's some things that hit home tonight. Maybe there's some things that you have questions about. That's okay. Let's talk about it. Let's be willing to have some dialogue and ask questions of the Bible and also of one another. But guys, let's be a ministry that is going after convictions with all of our heart, that we're pointing each other back to Jesus, that we're a blessing, and that as we do that, we're a brighter light in New York City. Amen. That people see, like, as the church should be, a city on a hill. It's so exciting what God is doing. I'm just grateful to be a part of what God is doing in our midst. But God's not done yet. He's not done yet with you and your formation. And he's not done yet with us and us becoming more like Jesus as a ministry. Amen.
Amen.
So we hope this was encouraging for you tonight. We hope this was helpful. And so we're going to close with singing a song called Build My Life, right? This song talks about this idea of building a life on the Word. The chorus says, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Amen. So as we sing this last song, let's really think about this being our answer to God. hey, God, this is what we're going to do based off of your word. And so at this time, you guys can stand up. We'll sing one last song, and then we'll have some time of fellowship. We have this space till 9, by the way. So we'll sing and then have some good time of fellowship.